And our first item on the report is the rental housing code. And Greg, please.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. As you're aware, the city council's worked for the past several months to create a rental housing inspection program and the associated rental housing code. City staff has moved forward with the implementation process as directed by council. At the May 28th, 2019 council meeting, during a council workshop, a draft rental housing code was reviewed and a few adjustments were made to the code at that time. An open house for rental housing owners was held on June 26th, 2019to discuss the rental housing program and draft code. Three rental property owners also appeared at the July 8th, 2019 council meeting to discuss the proposed ordinance. What we found, the major concern that we heard was from some of the owners was the proposed fee. And staff has reviewed various fee structures by other communities around the state with an estimated cost for rental housing to establish the rental housing program here in the city. And we're proposing the following fee structure. An annual permit fee, and this would be for the first unit in a building, is $35. And each additional unit in a building would be $10. An inspection fee, the initial inspection, there's no fee that's included in their permit. And for a reinspection, the first reinspection fee would be $15 per unit, and a second and subsequent reinspection would be $55 per unit. For example, under this fee structure, the annual permit fee would be $35 for a single family dwelling, $45 for a duplex, $55 for a triplex, and $65 for a fourplex. Each building would be charged the initial $35 fee. Therefore, for example, in an apartment complex with three fourplex buildings, the total permit fee would be $195. And that's simply taking the $65 per fourplex multiplied by three gets you to $195. So with that, the recommendation is for council review and discussion of the proposed rental housing ordinance and rental housing fees, and direct staff to bring it back to the November 25th council meeting for the first reading. And again, this is open, and I see we have several members here from the public for discussion on this tonight. So at this point, I would open it for any discussion council may have.
The inspection is good for 3 years?
3 years,
so
yes.
So if you just had one unit, $35 for 3 years?
No, it's right? $35 per year.
$35 per year?
Yes.
We were doing it for a three-year amount.
Yeah, that's what we...
Single year.
Yeah, we talked about that initially. The 3 year.
Yeah, that's what I was, initially when we were talking, it was like 3 year. Yeah. Okay.
And again, we're, slowly working our way into this. And again, tonight is open for discussion, and we'd move forward from there.
And Greg, you said November 25th is when we're planning on bringing it back around for the first reading?
That would be the plan, unless you decide differently tonight, or if we need to do more work. We're open to that also. But that would be the recommendation.
I know that question was asked, when's it going to come back around to become?
Yeah. And then at that point, I believe there'd be three readings on it prior to its adoption. So.
You have staff.
And Mike has been a big help in this process also, and is available too to answer questions.
Yeah, and tonight we really wanted to just bring it back. We wanted to get some media attention, which they've done. We appreciate that. And then obviously the next step, if we bring it back, will be a part of the discussion this evening on where we head next. But the plan, if you read through the ordinance, one thing I would highlight is kind of go to your question. The permits would be good through March 31st every year. So people would have to annually apply. Kind of the window would be between January and March 31st. So the idea would be, if this gets approved, we'll first of the year start that process of getting people permitted, and then we'll start. Our plan would be to initially divide the town up into three kind of sections, and then kind of work through each section as we go through, so we get them on a three-year rotation.
So come March, we'd have any property owner would get registered for it. They would pay their fee in, but they may not be inspected immediately or even within the first year. Is that correct?
That would be correct.
As you go through the three zones, if you will.
Correct.
So if a piece of property is sold during the year, does the and it passes inspection, does that stay for until next March, or does the new owner have to start?
Great question. Under the ordinance, if they provide us timely notice of that sale, then it would continue to have that registration. They wouldn't have to repay, we just transfer to the new owner.
Yeah, I think it requires a 30-day notification. They have to notify us within 30 days of the sale or the transfer of the property.
What's the process for notifying new rental property owners that they need to?
I mean, part of it, if it's a rental property today and it transfers, you know, hopefully the current owner is going that. But part of it is just understanding what's in effect in the community. Certainly, if we get an individual that comes in through the water utility system and goes to put it in their name and they're renting, we'll check that against our list. And if it's not, then we'll notify the owner that they need to go through this process.
I was just thinking, say someone purchases a home to turn into a rental property, is there a way that they're notified that you need to do this?
We don't necessarily know the intent of the next owner.
Sure.
But again, in that case, a lot of single family homes, the tenant, not in every case, but a lot of times the tenant is responsible for the water bill. And that's where we're going to catch it at that point. When they come in to put the water in their name, we're going to know that that's not the current property owner and that they have to pay a deposit for it. That'll be a trigger for us to go look at, have they registered that as a rental property.
You know, another one, Clay, may be through building permit applications also, so we would have that to rely on too.
Thank you. I was going to ask, is that something that would or could be integrated into the building permit if it's a new structure being built?
New, absolutely. Yep. Yeah, now remodels, just depending, sometimes they're a little tougher to track depending on how much work is done. But in most cases, yeah, we'll be able to, you know, they'll have to identify what they're going to do with the building. And at that time, we can notify, you know, the contractor or the owners as to the rental policy.
Greg, I have a quick question. 158.04, you mentioned the rental permit shall also include the maximum number of occupants.
Mm-hmm.
Would you elaborate on that?
Oh, okay.
Because you define occupant, I get that, but how is that determined?
Okay, what number are you on there, Carol?
158.04.
Okay.
Page 6.
Yeah, page 6, toward the bottom of the long paragraph.
Yeah, I believe, I think that's addressed somewhere else, the maximum occupancy of any, but I'm just not exactly sure right off hand. Rooms or something like that. Yeah, there is, Carolyn, for sleeping rooms. What page is that on?
Yeah, I remember the sleeping rooms, but yeah. Does this apply to all rental properties? It says, along with the permit, you'll include the maximum number of occupants. So
yeah.
Does that apply to everything beyond?
I believe that it would. That would be my interpretation of it. And, you know, with the bedrooms here, that would probably pretty much give us the number of people that will be living there, I would say. That was the gauge.
So I guess I don't know how you determine, like, number of people per bedroom or
okay,
whatever.
The maximum number, I know that's in there, is 4 per bedroom.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, it's in this?
Yes.
I could
and
not
then there,
find
then
it.
I think there's also a square footage requirement. That's where it may be under.
Okay, yeah. I missed that.
Oh, gosh. And I should.
I know, it's a lot.
Page 18.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, sleeping rooms.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a maximum occupancy of 4 per bedroom, so.
Okay. Okay, thanks.
I knew it was in there somewhere.
Well, thank you for digging.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
This wouldn't pertain to like a bed and breakfast in town, then?
No.
Correct.
No, that's more in the line of a hotel.
That's
motel.
More hotel.
I did see something in there, though, Greg, that caught my attention about hotels. I mean, I just wondered, I mean, we start talking about the Carrollton Inn, who has our regular railroad people come and stay. I mean, they have grills outside. How are we looking at that? I mean, they're there for a long period of time.
Yeah. I don't think we could probably separate that out to call that a rental property, I don't believe. Mike, what would be your take on that?
No, I mean, our intention would not be this, would not be a hotel, that this would not apply to a hotel. One of the things, and I know where you're probably going a little bit on this, I mean, generally a hotel is not occupied more than 30 days at a time. And so this ordinance wouldn't come into effect in that case.
Okay, I guess I'm just making sure that, yep. I mean, if we have people staying there for more than 30 days at a time, we probably should be looking at it.
I don't know, Misty, in that case, you know, there wouldn't be any cooking appliances in the room or anything like that.
I know.
Rooming and boarding houses that have communal kitchens and
right.
communal bathrooms and that kind of thing. But, you know, those units are pretty self-contained, basically for sleep, not for cooking or, you know, anything like that.
So. I had another question for you, too. I was curious, for some of the people who have bigger units who are probably HUD approved, they're already getting an inspection. So I just was curious. I mean, you're looking at taking the property manager's time to, they're already going through HUD inspection and then they're going to have to go through this again with you. So is there any way that if they're already HUD approved and they can prove to you that they've had their HUD inspection, that you don't have to send another person through their property again? Because I don't think it's about them not having the inspection, but more about their time. If they're already HUD approved and they're already inspected, I would assume that HUD's following the same federal guidelines or state guidelines as we are. So it would save both ends time. I mean, is that something we could look at?
You know, I've reached out to a number of my counterparts. Most cities have shied away that. And one of the comments I get is HUD looks sometimes at different things than a community cares about. Sometimes they're going to be harder in certain areas and not in others. They get sometimes really caught up in handrails and whatnot, but they don't really, other areas they don't get into as far. So it's a balancing act, but a lot of cities, as again, I'm not even sure I have to go back and look at my notes if actually any city accepted that, but I know most cities don't accept that.
Mm-hmm.
Could we? We could. I think another alternative would be we certainly want to be respectful of landlords' times, and if mm-hmm. they're going through those HUD inspections, I think we're willing to work with those and kind of coordinate efforts and do it at the same time so that we're using their sure. time efficiently.
Sure. I think that should be looked at.
You know, Mike, are you thinking they're like a current HUD inspection for a certain year, particular year, along those lines? You know, if they can show proof of inspection.
But again, are we hitting the same things? And that's always yeah. the question.
Yeah, and I don't know what they cover for sure.
Yeah.
Oh. Is it open forum?
Yeah, you can come on up. You just have to announce your name and we'll take comments. That's what we're trying to still getting comments.
Margaret Sewers.
Yes.
I'm here in the July 18th, and I guess I'd like to ask the council two main things. At that council meeting, it was said specifically by Clay Haley that there was not going to be another position added based on what Carol Broadcasting had put out, that they were going to add a new position for this to enforce city codes. Is that correct?
I don't believe that is. We were looking at hiring a person for this position, not just a rental housing inspector, but also a code enforcement officer. So his time would not totally be in the rental inspection process, but also deal with nuisance abatements and that sort of thing in the city.
Yeah.
So and it would not be a full-time.
Even the sidewalk inspection that we talked earlier today, again, freeing up police department time from kind of some of those nuisance and really dedicating a person.
Two dozen, correct? Approximately is what you said.
For what?
Violations.
Oh, every time it snows.
Every time.
But again, that's just one area.
That's only one, okay. I'm just trying to alleviate the addition of a city employee with our tax purposes. That does not constitute, and you mentioned as far as a HUD inspection. I already, last time, addressed that insurance, my insurance company that I pay $1,300 a month for, comes and inspects me. Now you want me to pay $1,000 every year now? First was 3 years. And that we were supposed to, based on the last meeting, Carolyn said, welcome concern or perspectives. Who was involved in the development of this draft ordinance? As far as anybody in this audience, who is a property owner?
That was part of that meeting that we had out at the fire station to get some input from property owners.
Which I wasn't invited, and many other weren't invited, and it was funny that Mike Dewitt said that you would use the water bills, because I know I pay over $1,000 a month and never got invited.
Yeah, but we use the water bills based on who paid a deposit for rental housing. Since you're paying the bill, you don't pay a rental housing inspection, so it didn't flag in our system that way. But we use the water bills for those tenants that are paying the water, and they have to pay a deposit. Since you pay it as the owner, you don't pay that same deposit, so it didn't flag in our system.
Well, I paid the deposit, and I had to pay to get every meter change in every building, 15 buildings when I bought that complex.
But again, you don't pay, you don't have a deposit on the account. As owners, you don't have to pay a deposit in the city of Carroll.
Well, I had to pay to get the meter exchange in every building, 15 of them.
Yeah, and that may be, but that's again not a deposit.
You had to pay for something.
Yeah, it was paying for the water.
Whether deposit or the meter.
Yeah.
Hey, we're real sorry we missed you.
Yeah.
It wasn't an attempt to circumvent you.
After the last meeting, we were supposed to be involved in the development of the draft. You already had it, correct?
We did, and that's why we presented it then, and I'm sorry you weren't there, Margaret, but it was open forum, and we did change a few things by suggestions of some of the landlords.
We're here tonight. Can you give us some things you'd like to see amended?
Yes, the cost of it. And it was supposed to be every 3 years. Now it's one every year.
That was, but the fee that we discussed, and nothing was set in stone, was substantially higher than the $35.
Yeah, Margaret, fee. I'd like to address that. That was done as response from property owners saying that we were collecting too much up front and that we were being too burdensome with a 3 year, so we rolled it back to a 1 year. So that was one way that we were trying to respond.
What's it before? If we give you a HUD inspection, which yes, they look at everything, smoke detectors, they look at water, they look at windows, they look at everything that anybody else would. Proof that we're inspected, why would we have to pay for another inspection?
But
it's a government entity as well.
Yeah, but again, we can look at different things, different ways. And if I understand what you're saying, but again, it's trying to provide a system that we're trying to do a checks and balance. I mean, first of all, I think you have to step back and ask, you know, why did the city get into this in the first place? You know, the city didn't initiate a housing study. It was actually Carroll Area Development Corporation. And part of that, one of the things that came out of it is we have a number of houses in our community that are deteriorating, and a lot of those are rental housing. Now, we have some really good landlords in the community. Your properties, you do a really good job. We have a lot of properties that are not doing the right things, both the tenants, the neighborhood, and the community as a whole. And we have a real problem. And one of the issues is, I know you said, well, take it by complaint basis.
Yes.
People don't call, when your housing is problematic, they don't call to say my landlord's a bad actor. Because if they're not, if they are housing deficient, they're not going to jeopardize getting themselves kicked out of their home. Then we end up with a situation where houses are deteriorating. Neighbors don't always catch it, or they don't want to be a bad neighbor and call in. Now, we get a lot of calls. Today, we don't have the tools to really even address that issue. But that's even beside the point that we have a number, our housing stock is very important in the city of Carroll. The costs are expensive to build new houses. If we don't maintain what we have, we don't maintain the neighborhoods we have, we're going to lose that housing stock, and you'll never get it back. And so what we're hearing from the community is this is a really important step for the city to take it on. And that's why we're doing it. We're not trying to punish it, but we need to keep our community up for everyone in the community.
Totally. But, Carolyn, who was the majority of the complaints from? Were they houses, or were they...
Well, as I said, when we talked about this before, it was houses.
And are they taxed? Are they taxed the same as apartment owners?
Are they taxed the same as apartment owners?
So, single-family dwellings.
Multi-family dwellings are taxed. They're gradually going to lower but you are no longer taxed as a commercial entity. You are now taxed as multi-residential, and I believe you're at, 71.5%. The rest of us are taxed at around 56%. I believe 55, I believe the rollback is currently. But the state controls that. We do not. And we do not control assessments.
But I'm just saying, if the majority of the complaints were from single dwelling homes, then why did multifamily have to get brought into it?
Well, I get complaints about some multifamily. The majority of the complaints I get are homes, and they really do need attention. And I have conversations, as I said before, running into people in the grocery store, whatever. I bet I have conversations every week. And I have had a lot of people say they believe this will be good for Carroll overall. And
what's the percentage? I mean, there's a percentage. I mean, I guess I'm wasting my time.
The percent of what now?
Houses, multifamily complexes.
You know, there haven't been any statistics that have been compiled on this. We'd be lying to you if we told you that. But I know, as with Carolyn, I do get contacted by the residents of these rental units, by neighboring property owners. It comes from all over the place.
I get complaints all the time, and it's by people that pay their rent because they know they can, and that are not doing anything illegal. If they're not doing any one, if they're not one of those two, you're probably not going to hear from them because they don't want it. If they're not paying the rent, they're probably not going to complain. Or if there's something illegal here, they're probably not going to complain. I'm just frustrated because now you're asking me to pay basically, I'm assuming, right, that 65 times 15 buildings is 975 bucks a year. Again, for no value to me or my tenants, so therefore I have to raise my rent and try and keep this affordable. That makes no sense to me. And I denied paying my chamber dues because obviously it didn't help me in getting invited to the last meeting you guys had. I'm just fed up with it. And you talked about property, as far as the last time in July, you talked about neighbors complaining about people not neighboring property, not taking care of it. Well, my biggest issue was Fairview because they even associate me with Fairview. And what have you guys done to try and clean that up? So that's my complaint.
Thank you. Is there a way to look at that fee? I mean, or something to do with the HUD, you know, that they are getting inspected? But,
yeah. You know, we'll have some conversations. I can have some conversations.
Talk about it a little bit more.
Can dig into it a little bit more. So we can do that. I mean, the fee, that's a council decision to make on that. One of the things, the direction that we kind of looked at was, you know, this new position was going to kind of have a number of roles,
right,
and about a third of their about a third of their time was going to be spent on rental housing code enforcement. And so the fee was kind of developed to offset that portion of their, so it wasn't going to be paying for the entirety of the position.
Right.
But that's a question for council of how much they want to. What I would say is, as we looked at, because we did look at a number of cities around the state on what they charged in fees, this was about middle of the road. Cities were all over the place. Some cities, it didn't matter if you had one unit or 20 units a building. It was a set fee. Other cities did like we're proposing, where initial unit was a certain fee, and then additional units were less. Some cities were probably twice as much as we're charging. Some cities were less than what we're charging. So, it was no rhyme or reason. What we really looked at, again, was the directive that we wanted it to pay for the work that was associated towards the housing, the rental housing code, and do recovery on that portion. So that's how we.
How many buildings do you have, Margaret?
15.
Do they all get inspected by HUD?
No, only those tenants that are HUD.
Only just their apartment?
Yep.
Not the building that they're housing, just their apartment?
Well, if the building...
If they're all for HUD, then it could be the whole building.
Well, but it's the entrance and everything to that apartment. But like I said,
okay.
My insurance company inspects that as well.
Sure. Okay.
And I mean, if we're supplying our invoices to you from Dick's Fire Extinguishers, that we're getting those done. I mean, I just don't see, it's duplication of effort. I don't want to pay a city employee to come out and tell me how to run my business.
Right. How many HUD do you have?
I probably have less than six, because I'm tired of dealing with the government bureaucracy.
Very good.
I got your point.
I hear you. All right.
MS is saying that I have to have a smoke alarm in all the bedrooms.
Yes.
Okay, I have a bedroom here, a bedroom here. I have a smoke alarm in this little bitty hallway. If they can't hear that, people in the next apartment can even hear it.
Yeah, I can tell you what happens there sometimes if people sleep with their bedroom doors shut.
They can still hear it.
Well, you could potentially have a fire develop in that bedroom. And then the smoke, if the door is shut, doesn't have means to get out to the hallway. It's just an added safety precaution for the people living there. And smoke detectors are relatively inexpensive.
Also, don't change their batteries anyway. Mm-hmm. Usually, if you do an inspection, they'll take out the batteries.
I know that's a problem. And really, in my opinion, they should be hardwired in. But for this. Battery operated will, suffice. And I know you're required by state law to provide a smoke detector in your apartments, but after that, it's up to the tenants to maintain them. So, it's pretty scary, and you may know it, Margaret, the number of people that take batteries out of smoke detectors or tear them off the ceiling. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people living at risk that way. So, smoke detectors, in my mind, are one of the most important things you can provide for tenants. So.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you there.
Yeah.
There's only so much we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're found delinquent and it's their issue, whose response is it?
Yeah.
Whose responsibility is it?
You know, I've talked to several other landlords about that issue, and I would make that part of the rental agreement, that you are providing a working smoke detector when they move in.
It's in there.
And have them sign that, so they're, so they can't say, well, they never provided this one. I hear that a lot.
Let me ask you this. Whose favor is a lease in?
I don't really know. I have not dealt with them that much. You can probably tell.
Anybody else here who is a landlord can tell you. Mm-hmm.
I'm not
going to
alert.
It still doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been doing this 10 years personally. I quit my daytime utility job to do this so I could have more flexibility. I've never been more frustrated and had my eyes opened up into the world of make-believe or BS. I don't know what to call it. But, this is just another case where we're trying our hardest to make it an affordable housing, and all we get done is get taxed and penalized for doing the right thing. it's hard enough to make money on an apartment house, and then you're going to add all these extra fees. And I've got potential liability all over. I mean, like today, I mean, I was over here after a little after 5 o'clock, making sure my sidewalks were clear and my landings were clear. And, you know, it's because I do care, and everybody here does care. But it's so frustrating to continually have to deal with city issues and state issues, county issues. So.
Your insurance inspection, does that get as deep as what we're looking at in like the city inspection net?
Yes.
So there's a lot of overlapping there?
Yes.
Okay.
Would your insurance company accept our inspection?
I have no idea. But I don't have to pay for that one. I think the city should pay for the inspection myself. If I for anything else.
State your name and Larry your address.
Huntsman.
Larry Huntsman, okay.
Hi, thanks for the question. This thing is all really pretty good, and I know you're looking for Carol Bitter Hills and all that, but it comes down to who's going to do the inspection, and is it going to be fair? Is the guy going to be qualified? Is he going to know about heating, plumbing, everything? I believe somebody has to make sure that this is fair to everybody.
There's we have a list. There was a form that actually is part of the ordinance that we give to the housing, the rental unit owners, you guys that rent the properties out, so that you have the checklist, you have the answers to what we're looking for. So if you go through and you inspect it yourself and you see that there are deficiencies, you have an opportunity to fix it before our inspector would get there, then it'd be fine.
So who will pick the inspector?
That's probably going to be up to the staff. Yeah. And so
qualifications
would have to be.
Like that, certainly a background in, you know, HVAC and mm-hmm. building construction and that kind of
and
thing.
And so if somebody, some of us have a problem with that, will somebody help negotiate where, hey, this guy is after us?
One of the things you'll see in the ordinance is there is a process that if you feel that it's an issue that they're unfairly handling, there's an appeals board, an appeals process, and there's actually no cost to make that appeal. And we wanted to make that, I mean, that's an important component. It's a safety valve issue. I mean, ultimately, even beyond the appeals board, you know, we really talked about for a while about the inspection fee. You know, we didn't want, you know, initially when we were talking about this, we were going to have a fee at the time of inspection, and that's going to be once every 3 years. And we were looking at a fee about $130 to $150.
That was the original.
Yep. And that's one of the things we heard was, well, most cities only charge $35, $40. Well, when we started looking at some of those cities that were named off, well, they were doing annual fees. So we decided instead of just having this bigger upfront one-time fee, we're going to break it over 3 years, but we still kept it so there's no fee at the inspection. We also talked a little bit about, you know, the first reinspection. We almost considered having no fee for that. What I didn't want to get into is a situation where we're coming in and saying, well, these are your tenant deficiencies, and, you know, we wanted, you know, here's a checklist. We wanted the landlords to really look at it and kind of go through it. This isn't a game of gotcha. We want to be partners in this and help you through it, so you know exactly what we're looking for. I know no one's going to like the process, and they're going to have a disdain for this, but we also didn't want to be where we're trying to go in there and just causing headaches with people. We think these are really basic kind of life safety issues, quality of life issues that every unit should follow. I mean, one of the things we've not heard from anyone is there's something in here that is overboard or too much. I mean, if there's something in here that someone thinks that there's something in here that, well, you're asking too much, we shouldn't have to follow this, we want to hear that. We don't get in there and say you have to paint the house a certain color. You know, we're really trying to be mindful of those basic kind of life safety issues.
Well, I think most landlords, kind of smart someone that's got, you kind of see what he's got. Everything's got to be just right, and most of us do. Would the city do pre-inspection? No, I don't think you would, but I think that $100 would start. This year's a good start. The price is fair. I worry about jacking it up next year. You say, well, we've got them all hooked in, now let's go to 100, 200. I would want some kind of a guarantee on that, but I'm more worried about the inspection. I'm more worried about somebody don't like somebody else, and I think that's the next we watch.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I got another question for Margaret. How often does your insurance companies inspect?
Just a second. Margaret, I have to have you come up. Sorry. That way people can hear you. I'm right. Sorry about that. Appreciate it.
How
Thank
often
you.
Does your insurance companies inspect your...
It is random. I don't know exactly when it does. They just did this
year. Is it once a year, though?
No, it's not every year. Talk about doing it every 3 years. Typically, they do it every 2 years.
Do they give you a form to tell you what you have, what they're looking for?
No.
They just come in and then tell you what you got wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
To her point, though, too, she doesn't pay an additional fee for that. It's part of her premiums that she
part
pays.
Part of the premium that you're paying already.
Which I'm already paying.
Right.
Yeah. But I just wondered if it was an annual inspection.
Yeah. Oh, no. No.
So once every how many years?
Oh, like I said, I think it's every 3 years. Okay. I had to switch because I had a fire as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Caused by a tenant's
smoke. Okay. Thank you.
Hey, Mike, did you guys look at all at caps for larger units of not to exceed figure, I should say?
Oh, we have not. Certainly that can be looked at. I would say I don't recall seeing another city do that, but of course I only looked at probably about 15-20 cities.
Is that anything you guys would be interested in?
Certainly. I'm
looking at that.
I don't have a problem with it. There are those facilities that, all of a sudden you're $300-$500 for one, and then you got some of those buildings have 10 or 12 apartments in them, and boom.
That's why we adjusted it down for the second and for the other ones anyway. We did do that. We recognized that at our last meeting.
And the next question would be, is it based on ownership, for example? Fairview Apartments has sold recently to Carlson Properties. Now, Carlson owns a number of complexes in town. So do you extend that over multiple property? I mean, it's just a question.
I'll defer to you. I'm just throwing out there, just wondering if it was anything that had been looked at or if it was worth.
And I think it does open our up attempt of that $35 for the first unit, $10 for each additional unit was kind of our way to do that. The idea was going to each building. Obviously, there's certain systems, especially in those larger complexes, that kind of repeat themselves, the heating and cooling systems, some plumbing systems. So once you look at one in a building, you really have looked at all the units in the building. So that was our attempt in trying to limit that. We certainly can revisit it if that's a council desire.
My name is Dave Farrell, and I reside at 1401 North Main Street, and I have four rental units in this town. But I've had conversations with many people who have a lot more rental units than I do. And after listening to the discussion tonight, I can understand why some people are very upset, the people who have spoken before me. Let me ask, how many of you people have the name on a deed that has a residential rent? That is a residential rent. Any of you people?
I have a deed that, yeah. And I have someone renting it? Yes.
Yes.
I have.
Right.
I know what you mean.
Right. So you have a lease and so on.
I used to.
You do have them?
Okay. I used to, yes.
And how many of you have ever gone through a HUD inspection? What did you find as far as a HUD inspection was concerned?
It's been a long time ago. Be fair.
I had to update a lot.
In what areas?
Electrical.
So basically, if you look at a HUD inspection, it's a lot more critical than what you have in this. There's no doubt about it. The problem is, HUD's gonna come in and they're gonna tell you exactly what you have to do. For instance, you have a thing in here about steps. It doesn't say anything about how high the step has to be. HUD will tell you that. Your step has to be between 6 3/4 and 7 1/2 inches. That's the rise. Then the step itself has to be 9 inches. And you know who makes that decision in your code? The inspector does. So when these people over here are concerned about the inspector, I can understand where they're coming from. Now, if you look at this, I found 5 spots in here where it's the discretion of the inspector to determine what is going to pass and what isn't going to pass. So basically, for those of us who have a rental property and we say, well, I might be a little suspect, it's like, well, we don't know what the inspector's going to pass and what isn't going to pass. And what really kind of blows my mind is it's really, there are a lot of codes that are out there. The International Building Code will tell you all this stuff, just like that. And you can buy the book for $48. It's that thick. And probably if we'd ask the public library, would get one and put it on so we could all see it. If you don't like the International Building Code, take the American Building Code. If you don't like that, every electrician's group has a code. Same thing with the carpenters. Why aren't we using that instead of an inspector? That we kind of wonder is going to be qualified, and that, this is a discussion I've had with many property owners, is, oh, we need somebody who's good at plumbing, we need somebody who's good with electrical, we need somebody who understands carpentry. We'd like to meet that person. They're going to be great. I hope you have them on the payroll right now. So on. So, there are a group of us out there, we're not big time, we're small time, and we don't know if we've had any complaints. But on the area of complaints, I think this is another thing that's causing people a lot of concern. If you go into Hewlett-Packard, which is a very large corporation, there's a big sign that says, in God we trust, all others bring data. Now, the data I got, when I got a letter, said there have been significant complaints about rental property. So I pick up the telephone and I call City Hall and I say, I'd like to speak to somebody like this because I think significant amounts of complaints, I'd be interested in this. Maybe one of my places has been complained about. They connect me with an employee of the city and they tell me, I say, how many complaints have we had? Don't know. What do you mean you don't know? And what have they been about? I would think that would be the first thing you'd ask. What's this complaint about? And so I said, okay, has it been 100? No, not that many. 75? No, not that many. 50? No, not that many. 25? No. I said, well, give me a number. You know what I got? Between 0 and 10. Now, Mrs. Seaman comes up and tells me, well, I see these people in the grocery store and they tell me this. And Mr. Haley tells me, well, I got at least 20 of them. And now we're back to Hewlett-Packard, which says, we want data, but it's got to be a lot more specific than that. In how many, what's the time frame? What are the complaints about? And have you addressed the complaints in this code that you're bringing forth? We've got to wonder about that. And I think these people have spoken to that to a certain extent. Thank you for your time.
Dave, to your question about the rise and run on stairs, in this rental housing code, there is a section in here on conflicting provisions, and it says, in any case where the provisions of this chapter are found to be in conflict with the provisions of any zoning, building, fire safety, or health ordinance, or code of the city, the provision which establishes the higher standard for the promotion and protection of the health and safety of the people shall prevail. And the city has adopted the International Building Code, so that would prevail in cases
except
like that.
Except it says in here also that that's at the discretion of the inspector. Mm-hmm. Right?
And again, if you're in conflict with that decision, you have an appeal process.
Don't you? And if the inspector, is he going to have input into those three people?
I don't think so. It's three people that are selected from the city of Carroll.
Because see, I had an experience with the city whereby I wanted to build a garage. So I go to the building department and I say, I want to build a garage. And they say, can't build a garage there. Why not? Because it's an irregular lot. About 3 months later, there's a rental, or there's a property for sale that I want to buy because I think I can turn it into a rental, but I know it's going to be irregular. So I go to the same guy and I say, you know, I'd like to put a different garage on that piece of property. I like to put a double, but I know I can't do it because it's irregular. And the response I got was, well, maybe we could do that a little differently on that piece of property. Well, that's, how do I know? And he, the first time was said, you can take this to the board, whatever the board was, but they're not going to pass it because I'm going to recommend that they not do it.
Okay. Yeah, that was Board of Appeals you could go, or okay. Board of Adjustment that you could go to.
So how are we to know? You know, same situation. So data helps.
So Dave, could you hang on just a moment? I want to understand better what you're after. You would like concrete data over a period of time showing where the complaints are and what they are.
Right.
What is that period of time? How long a period of time do you need us to collect data across to make it valid for you?
Well, it would be appropriate, but I would say if it's a five-year-old complaint, it's null and void by this time. Now, if you told me you had the same complaint over and over for the last 5 years, I'd say, okay, yeah. And basically, we sit down and we discussed this at the one meeting that I've been to. It was in the fire station. There are some places in town that you're shooting for, that you're after. But this is, you're kind of like the fourth grade teacher who came up and said, you know, we got a problem with some of the little boys going to the restroom and they're peeing on the floor. Now, we don't know who's doing it, but I tell you what, none of you get to go out for recess until somebody owns up to it. Now, what did that tell you? It tells us we have a classroom teacher that doesn't have very good behavior management, and she doesn't understand much about discipline. And she doesn't know any other way to handle it. And this kind of represents that to me. Your code is that you don't know any other way to handle it. And there are other alternatives, I'm sure.
Do you have any?
I wouldn't want to venture to guess what you do.
I see someone waving behind you.
You can have that.
Complaint driven. Like he said, give us the data, who did it, then you go after them.
So you'd rather have a complaint driven process that...
Do you punish everybody in high school? Because just like that. Yep, everybody's going to get, somebody wrote on the wall, we're going to punish everybody. Everybody's got to pay $5 to get that done. It doesn't make sense what you're doing. And now that I'm hearing 0 to 10, you're going to make us pay $1,000 a year for 0 to 10 complaints?
Mountain out of Memorial.
But this makes no sense.
Thank
you. And you guys can go to sleep at night knowing that your affordable housing, this is what you're doing for 0 to 10 complaints.
Any other discussion? Okay. Take those into consideration then, and we'll go from there. Okay? We don't have any... I don't see any reason to do a motion on this. I think we can go back and do a little more work. Move on to the next item.